And if you would like to open your Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, we're going to be looking at verse 13 through to chapter 5, verse 1. And that's on page 818 of the Red Bibles. As I said at the start, we're looking at the purpose of the church in the life of the world. Last week we saw God's one all-consuming concern was for the salvation of all the nations. This week we're going to see a little bit as to how he does that. How does he actually go about bringing that salvation to all the nations? So that's 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and beginning at verse 13. It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Now, if we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not made by human hands. When we know what's coming in the future, it helps us to get ready in the present. Boys and girls, I'm going to need your help this morning, because there's a few things that I'm a little bit confused about, and I need you to help me understand a little bit, okay? We've got some props. You may like to come up closer to the front so you can see it, and there's a bit of a game in the middle of it all for us to play as well. So there's some space up here beside my two. Do you want to come up and join? Ralph, you want to come up and join? Come on up. You won't want to miss this, I assure you. When we know what's coming in the future, it helps us to get ready in the present. It helps us to get ready in the present. Now, anybody know what this is? Anybody know what this is? Yeah? You want a piece, yeah. Well, maybe afterwards. You know what this is? Yeah? Cake, chocolate cake. Have a smell. Oh, that's good. Licking the lips. But what happens sometimes is this. Your mummy and daddy would say, you can have a bit of chocolate cake, but only if you eat this. You know what this is? Have a smell of that, Owen. It doesn't smell just as good. Spinach. Some spinach. So that's it. That's not too bad yet. It's surprising. This? Does anyone know what this is? Ginger. Most of the time, what's really annoying about parents is they say, you can have that if you eat this. Okay? And sometimes it works. I think bribery, I'm against bribery. I don't like bribing children, except when it's absolutely necessary. When we know what comes in the future, it affects what we do and how we feel in the present. Or again, this is perhaps slightly more for the grown-ups and stuff. Hold on. Look, will you just wait? And then we'll get to that later. Okay. Now, what do you think you use these for? What are these?
Sunglasses.
What's this? Sun creams and sun cream. What's this? Bucking and spade. Where would you use these things?
Beach.
At the beach. Yeah, right? Imagine having a holiday by the beach. You're going on holiday. Imagine having a holiday by the beach. Now, some of you in here might actually have booked that long overdue holiday by the beach. But in order for you to enjoy it, because you know what's coming, you might actually do this. You might actually do this. You know what this is?
Skipping rope.
Skipping rope, yeah. We like skipping in our house, don't we? Skipping rope, yeah. What are these? Talking about smelly. Have a smell. Oh. Oh, those are quite bad.
What about this?
Can anybody lift it? Oh, you're so strong. Aren't you? What happens is that when we've got a holiday by the beach, some of us actually, in order to get ready for it, start counting the calories a little bit more carefully and actually exercising so that when we get there, we'll have a good time. When we know what's coming in the future, it affects what we do and how we feel in the present. And what Paul was saying in the passage that we read from his letter to the Second Corinthians is that exactly the same applies in the Christian life as well. What we know is coming in the future affects how we feel and what we do today. And Paul had this unshakable confidence about the future. I don't know if you saw it in verse 14. Have a look at verse 14 with me. He was completely confident about what was coming and what awaited him in the future. He says this: "We know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence." He was completely clear as to what was going to happen in the future. Because of what God had done for him, not because of what he was doing for God, but because of what God had done for him, he knew that what was coming in the future would far outweigh the best tasting chocolate cake. He knew what was coming in the future would make even the greatest holiday we have a mere shadow and a small foretaste of the rest and the joy that we would have then. And because of that, because he was certain about the future, Paul did certain things in the present. And this morning, as we look at this passage together, and as we think about God's purpose for the church and the life of the world and the salvation of all people, we're asking the question, well, what is it that he did? If you're a Christian here this morning, this confidence is yours too. It may not always feel like it, and we'll see that there are many things that stood in the way of Paul actually always believing it. But if you're a Christian here this morning, this is your confidence as well, that because God has already raised Jesus from the dead, the future is certain. Just need to get rid of another prop here. This one's for later, and it's really quite essential, that one. We need that one for later. So because of what's in the future, it affects how we feel and what we do in the present. So three things that Paul says he does because he's confident about the future, he does today. Got it? And the first thing he says, that because he's assured, because he's confident about the future, he continues to speak about Jesus Christ as Lord. Do you see what he says at the beginning of our reading in verse 13? He says, "It is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. With that same spirit of faith, we also believe, and therefore we speak." Now, that's a bit of a strange verse to come in on, but essentially Paul's giving to us his CV. He's letting us know what the nature of his ministry is. And a little earlier on in this chapter, he has said that he was absolutely committed to proclaiming one thing: Jesus Christ is Lord. That was his message. It had always been his message, and it was the message he shared with everyone. And it tells us something really important about Christianity. Anybody here like secrets? Like secrets? Anybody got secrets? Well, you probably have got your own secrets. You got your secrets? You don't have any secrets?
I do.
Okay, great, okay. Well, the thing about secrets is that you don't tell them to people. Isn't that right? If it's a secret, well, you don't necessarily tell it to others. But there's something special about this secret that I want to tell you this morning. And this secret is to be shared. Have you ever heard about the game of Chinese whispers? Have you ever heard of it? Okay. It's where somebody says something very quietly, whispers it to one person, and then that person passes it on to another person, and then that person passes it on to another person. And at the end of the long line, the person at the end has to tell the secret. What was it that was originally spoken? So we're going to try this morning and see if it works, okay? We're going to try it and see if it works, and then you have to pass it on, and we'll have two or three people and see how we get on, okay? Now, accents are probably a big problem, right? My accent, probably, you're probably wondering what I'm talking about already this morning. It's all a mystery to me. Well, we'll see how we get on with this one. Okay, here's the secret, okay? Now, you have to whisper it and pass it on, and then you can pass it, Ralph, you pass it on to Caleb now. Pass it on to Ralph now. Okay, whisper it into Ralph's ear, and then Ralph will whisper it on the... Oh, whisper it into Caleb's, okay. Okay, now Caleb. Okay, Ralph, you find somebody else to whisper it. What about Mark? What about Mark? Whisper it into Mark's ear. Mark, do you want to whisper it onto Amelia? You just whisper what you think you heard. Whisper it onto Amelia. Amelia, you tell Grant what you heard. Whisper it into Grant's ear. And then Grant will tell us all what it is. Okay, just whatever you think was said, you pass it on to Grant now. This is all part of the game. Go for it. Lost in translation. Go for it. It doesn't matter. We could be here for a very long time. What time's your plane at? Mark, you tell me what you think you heard. It's died. Now, that's close enough. What I actually whispered to Abigail was, it's done. It's done. This is the secret of Christianity, and not a lot of people actually know this. Because a lot of people think that Christianity is just the same as every other religion. You can spell every other religion with two letters. Tell me what this word spells. D-O. Do. You can spell every other religion in the world with those two letters. Do this. Do this. Follow my commandments and you'll save yourself. And a lot of people think that Christianity is just the same. But what Paul's telling us here, believe it or not, is that it's not. Christianity is completely different. Because Christianity doesn't tell us what to do. Christianity tells us what God has done. And therefore, Christianity spreads primarily not through doing, not through us doing stuff, living better lives, which are important, but Christianity spreads not necessarily or primarily through us doing. Christianity spreads through us speaking. Telling others about what God has done for them in Jesus Christ. Paul says, with the same spirit, referring back to the psalmist, he says, I believed, therefore I spoke. And you'll know this morning, if you're here as a Christian at all, you'll know that at some point somebody sat you down and spoke to you about what God had done in Jesus Christ for you. That he had sent his son into the world, that he had lived the perfect life, that he died in our place, that God raised him 3 days afterwards, and he sits in heaven waiting to return, to welcome all who trust in him home again. You can't do that. You can't perform that. You have to speak that to others. And therefore, because Paul was confident about the future, he continued to speak today about that great reality. But he knew that speaking, just as it is perhaps today, just as it was then, speaking came at a cost. If you're going to maintain that Jesus is Lord of all, if you're going to say that he's the only way to God, then that's going to bring you into conflict with the world. And so that's the second thing we see. Paul, confident of the future, continued to speak. Paul, confident of the future, continued to suffer because of what he said. He continued to suffer. Pick it up with me at verse 16, where he helps us to see that he talks about, actually, outwardly, he felt as though he were wasting away. He felt as though, what else did he say? In verse 17, he had light and momentary troubles. Now, have you ever, do you think you've ever suffered or struggled when you've been trying to achieve something? Maybe you're on a football team and you want to hold your position on that team. You've got to try really hard, don't you? And perhaps sometimes you even struggle or suffer because of it. But listen what Paul says about how much he suffered. And tell me what you think. Is he suffering a lot or just a little bit? He calls it here a light and momentary suffering. But listen to the suffering that he actually endures. He tells it to us later on in the letter when he says this, that on a number of occasions, he actually suffered imprisonments and countless beatings. He was thrown into jail. And one time he was actually stoned. People threw stones at him and left him for dead. That's pretty intense suffering, isn't it? He goes on and says that he survived 3 shipwrecks and was adrift a night and a day at sea. Doesn't sound as though it's small suffering, does it? He was often without food, cold and exposed, and had many sleepless nights, not to mention the constant fear of other religious radicals and the concern he had for the churches. He knew what it meant to suffer. And this is the normal Christian life. He continued to speak, and therefore, he continued to suffer. But, because he was confident of the future, because he knew that his future was guaranteed, he was prepared to suffer in the present. He wasn't suffering in order to get into heaven. He knew that heaven was already his, and therefore, he was prepared to suffer in the present. So think about our own lives at the minute as Christians. Our future is guaranteed. Heaven is ours, all because of what God has done for us in his Son. Jesus is our champion. Our future is guaranteed. To what extent are we prepared to suffer in the present now in order so that others might hear and believe? I think it's completely abnormal for most of us as Christians to think that actually we should be suffering for others to hear. But Paul says, yes, this is what it's all about. But because of his hope, his certain hope about the future, he was prepared to suffer. Now, this is where it all gets a little bit dangerous for us. Because Paul did go through, he weathered many storms, or if you like, he endured many fires. Outwardly, he was wasting away. But do you know what that did? We see it here in verse 17. He says, our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. His suffering exposed his true identity. His suffering confirmed his real destiny. Suffering had a purpose for Paul. He went through many storms, he suffered many fires, but it simply exposed who he really was and where he was really going. So, in order for us to illustrate that this morning, we have some instruments here. We have an instrument of torture, a small flamethrower. See if I can work it. Okay, so it works. Okay, and we have 2 spoons. Okay, plastic and iron. Now, when we go through difficulties and trials as people, very often I think we react to those difficulties and trials like this spoon rather than this spoon. And you'll know where this is going. And that's why I need this bucket of water. So yes, there are many trials. There are many storms and difficulties. Okay? In this life. And very often what happens, I need two people to do the second one, okay? So Ralph, and you can do the second one, okay? You can do the first one, all right? Now, let me see if you can light that up again. It's kind of hard, isn't it? Hold on, let me do it. I'll do it and you hold it down, okay? Hold on, here we go. Now, can you hold that down? Okay, now I need you to keep that lit, okay? So very often the way that we experience trials and difficulties when we go through the fire, this is what happens to us. Because we're not fixed on the future. Because we're not actually living in the confidence that we have as Christians. This is what happens. Look, we kind of shrivel up. We turn in on ourselves. We only can think about little old me. It can even get worse. We need it again, don't we? Need it again. Okay. Can I have it again? You see, as a visiting preacher, you can do these types of things. And not Sorry. Abigail, hold on. Let Ralph do it now, okay? You had a wee go. Let Ralph have a go, please. Thank you. Here you go. Ralph, hold that down. Okay. What? Oh, no, that's okay. Don't worry. I'm certified. Very often that's what can happen, isn't it? We just burn up. We burn up. We disintegrate. But actually, what Paul says happened to him was not that. I better keep this. Was not that at all. Because of his future, his suffering exposed his true identity. His suffering confirmed for him his true destiny. And so this is what happened. Is that Caleb? Point it up, Caleb. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Okay. Do it again. There we go. He could suffer. He could suffer shipwrecks and imprisonment. He could be beaten and stoned. He could go exposed without any food. He could do it over and over and over again. Because he knew, keep it down, Caleb. He knew, just went down. Anyway, that's fine. He may have got burnt a little bit. Yes, of course, that happens. But because of his certainty about the future, he could endure, he could go on. And he did that so that others could hear. We'll do it at home, we dear. We'll do it at here, okay? We won't actually do it at home, but you just didn't hear a preacher lying there. Because of his suffering, because of certainty of the future, he was prepared to suffer in the present, and he did it over and over and over again. And what that exposed was the worth he placed on the gospel. He was prepared to endure everything for the sake of the salvation of others. He was prepared even to suffer. The gospel was his treasure. There was nothing more important in his life to him than that. It was his treasure. And if we're Christians, it'll be our treasure too. And we will do anything and we will do everything so that others will be able to hear. We will continue speaking, even if that means suffering, perhaps even for the first time. But the way that things are going, the way that things are moving in our culture, I think that that suffering will become more and more, a more and more present reality for us all. And what we need to do, Paul gives us, he gives us the clue here, is keep our eyes fixed on our future. He was prepared to suffer. So because he was certain of the future, he would continue to speak. He was prepared to suffer. And lastly, really just to sum it all up, in verse 16, he says, therefore, we do not lose heart. In other words, he continued to stand. He continued to stand. He wasn't being intolerant. He wasn't being politically incorrect. He was being open. He was being honest. And he was being loving in speaking to everyone and anyone about the medicine, the good news that they needed. It was for, he was being inclusive and inviting everyone to see what God had done for them in the Lord Jesus. And so he continued to stand. Just actually before our passage, if you want to look down with it, at it with me, he says something remarkable, and it really just is echoing what we've already looked at already, because he talks there about being afflicted. And perhaps some of you, afflicted and almost confused, and perhaps some of you feel put upon or perplexed or confused yourselves. He was afflicted, he was persecuted, he was treated unjustly, and he was struck down, as we had heard. And perhaps that's where some of you feel as though you're at today. But then he says this, if you just look at it with me, he says in verse 8, he says, "We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, that is confused, but not in despair." And so he says, we do not lose heart. We continue to stand. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. You see, because of his certainty of the future, he can endure everything so that others might hear, so that others might know and understand how great God's love really was for them. He would go through the fire time and time again. We're all living for something in here. We're all living for something. Each and every one of us has something in our lives that we count to be our treasure. It's the most precious thing in the world for us, and we will make sacrifices for it. We're all living for something. We're all hoping that something in the end will bring us what we want, will satisfy our souls. We're all living for something in here, be it your exam results, if you're taking English exams, or be it your career, be it your family, be it a spouse, be it that special relationship, be it your pension. We're all living for something. We all have something in our lives that if we didn't have, we might actually be crushed completely. Paul says there's only one thing in this life that you can have as your treasure, that even though you're crushed, you'll not be destroyed. Even though you feel as though you've been put upon beyond bearing, you'll still be able to stand. Because Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the only thing in this world that will enable you to endure to the very end. And when you meet him, he will be there, risen and glorious, never more to suffer, and welcome you in too, to his eternal home. Yes, perhaps carrying the bumps and bruises that you have gained as you've spoken to others about Christ, perhaps you'll always bear those marks. They will be painful. But he will look at you and say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." So thinking about the purpose of the church in the life of the world, God's big aim is for the salvation of all the world. How was it to happen? It happened through people fixed on the future. Because they were certain about the future, they continued to speak and suffer and stand. And if we're Christians, that future is ours too. And we're being called into a glorious task of bringing God's salvation to all the world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, through all the words and through all the activity up here, we pray that you would indeed press your word home into our hearts, that we might too have great confidence about the future and therefore live in a certain way. May we have a great joy in speaking to others about Jesus, as that future reality becomes more precious to us. May we be prepared to suffer more and more, because we know one day that the Lord Jesus will wipe away every tear and remove all the suffering. And may we stand with Paul in proclaiming the good news of your Son to all the world. In his name we pray. Amen.